During this time of year, many are celebrating and remembering Jesus' first coming to this earth.
But what was really the impact of His coming and His promise to return?
Let's talk about it. Join us today on Wake Up with Hope. Welcome to the last Monday of 2022. Can
wow.
you believe that? I can't believe
it. It's hard to believe, that's for sure.
I mean, 2023 is just a few days away. Wow, I can't believe I just said that.
You did. And the year certainly flew by us, didn't it? We certainly enjoyed every minute of waking up with you, our viewers, every weekday this year.
It's been amazing. You know, we have a program today for a special reason. We want to share hope. Not just any hope, but the only hope, the only true hope found in Jesus Christ alone. And maybe you've been involved in celebrating His birth this time of the year. But Jesus' birth is a great event to celebrate any time of the year.
That is so true. And you know, it's because Jesus leaving heaven and coming to this earth that we have any hope of all. It's because of Him. And His resurrection leaves us with the blessed hope that one day soon, He will come again and take us home with Him.
Amen. And of course, we want to share that hope with you on today's program. So let's begin by taking a look back on this day in history.
Moses Austin was a successful merchant who in the late 1700s asked and received permission from the Spanish to build a lead mine and town in once Spanish-owned land. His mine was profitable for more than a decade, but the economic collapse following the War of 1812 destroyed the lead market and left him bankrupt. Determined to rebuild his fortune, Austin decided to try to establish an American colony in Texas. On this day in history, in 1820, he traveled to San Antonio to request a land grant from the Spanish governor, who initially turned him down. Austin persisted and was finally granted permission to settle 300 Anglo families on 200,000 acres of Texas land.
Did you catch that? His persistence made all the difference. You know, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." Ask, seek, and knock. Friends, have you ever felt like God isn't answering your prayers? Don't give up. Keep pressing your petitions to the throne of grace. Even though God may not answer your prayer right away, He is listening. He will answer it in the best way and at the perfect time. God is too wise to make a mistake. So trust your needs in the hands of the one who seeks your best and eternal good.
Amen. I want to trust those hands
I
today,
do too.
Don't you,
I do
friends?
Too. Yes.
Gia and Olive are back this morning to share an easy and healthy recipe for baked banana and apple oatmeal muffins that are perfect for breakfast on the go.
Hi, everyone. I'm Olive, and we're making oatmeal muffins.
Yes, we are. We're making oatmeal muffins, and I'm excited because these are amazing because there's no sugar in them, no added sugar in them, and the kids love them. They're full of fiber and full of nutrients, and they're easy to make, and Momo's going to lead it. Are you going to lead it?
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to put in here, all the dry ingredients?
Uh-huh.
Can you tell them what you're putting in first?
Oats.
Okay. So we got the oats, oat flour.
Uh-huh. Oat flour.
Oat flour. And we have a little bit of baking soda and baking powder. And we've got some cinnamon. And we're going to put all the dry ingredients in one little bowl and we're going to mix it around.
I'm going to mix it.
Yeah. Mix, mix until it's all mixed through. Okay, and then we've got the wet ingredients. So we've got mashed banana.
Mashed banana.
Mashed banana. Should we put that in there?
Uh-huh.
I put it in? Okay, so you mix that through. And we've got apple, which is just grated apple.
Gooey.
It is a little bit gooey. And we have a little bit of nut milk. So I've used soy milk, I think, for this one.
That one.
And that will help it give it some moisture. So can you mix it through now? And I'm going to put the vanilla essence in there.
That's getting gooey.
It is getting gooey. Maybe I should help you a little bit, hey? Now, if you like, and this is what's really going to sweeten it, is I add some sultanas. and I add some nuts, some crushed walnuts, as you can see there. Can you put some of that in? And we'll mix it through quickly because we've got to put it in the oven. We put the oven onto 175 because you don't want to burn. These burn really easy for some reason. Now, what I've learnt with this is you need just a big spoonful, like a tablespoonful. And this will make about six, this actual recipe. All right. Now, we're going to put these in the oven and we'll see you in a minute to show you, not in a minute, in 20 minutes, to show you what they look like. So they were cooking for 20 to 25 minutes in the oven. So we got our oatmeal muffins. They're ready to go. Now, just letting you know, when you bring them out of the oven, you just got to let them sit for a little bit. Once time goes by, the oats will absorb all the moisture, so don't be worried. But as soon as they start looking this color, like brownish, then you just take them out of the oven and let them sit for about 10 minutes. Okay, so I'll give you one to try. Here's one for you guys to try. So these are our oatmeal muffins. They are awesome. Look at that beautiful fruit inside. We've got the apples and the banana. Do you want to whisper? Yes, you can. Okay. So I'll put them there. Do you want to try one now, Momo, or do you want to try it after?
Okay. Can I try a whole one?
Yes, you can. We'll see you next time. We're going to eat these muffins because they look amazing. Do you want to say bye?
Bye.
See you next time. Say see you next time.
See you next time.
Are you enjoying today's program, friends? Don't forget to share it with one of your friends or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And search for us on YouTube as well. Check out our channel and keep up with us there.
Coming up next, we have doctor's orders.
Things don't seem to be improving. Are you eating the way I recommended?
Yes.
And drinking plenty of water?
Yes.
And exercising?
Yes, I'm doing everything you told me to do faithfully every day. I'm not drinking alcohol. I'm not doing all that other bad stuff you told me not to do.
Well, then maybe this is spiritual.
Come on, Doc. Spirituality, faith have nothing to do with health.
Oh, yes, they do.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, there was this study of 22 kibbutzim, 11 secular, 11 religious, and they followed them for 16 years. They were matched demographically for age and gender and all those things. The death rate on the secular kibbutzim, 3 times higher than that on the religious kibbutzim.
Oh, but that's got nothing to do with faith. That was probably just a fluke, Doc.
Well, consider this. Dr. Krukoff took cardiac patients. I mean, these were critical patients. And one group received music, touch, and prayer.
You've got to be kidding me, Doc. That's a bit touchy-feely, isn't it?
Well, the group that got the prayer and the therapy, they had fewer complications, did better overall.
Oh, well, maybe there is something to this faith thing. You know, matter of fact, I heard last week that those who learn to forgive, they have lower blood pressure, lower anxiety, and lower depression.
And God is the perfect role model of forgiveness.
So I guess you're right. A doctor should treat body, mind, and spirit. Thanks, Doc.
You're welcome. Don't leave God off your prescription.
Are you looking for true soul satisfaction, friends? Are you searching for something that has substance, something that will fill the desire of every longing of your soul?
Hope Harmonies has the answer to your soul's desire. They share it in their song entitled, Only Jesus Can Satisfy Your Soul.
This wide world over, but you'll be just as before. you'll never find true satisfaction until you found the Lord. For only Jesus can satisfy your soul.
If you're enjoying today's program, share us with a friend and visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup for more.
We love to hear from you. Please stop by our official Wake Up with Hope Facebook page and leave us a comment letting us know if our program is making a difference in your life. When we return this morning, we will have today's devotional thought from Voice of Prophecy. Wake Up with Hope. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope.
Right now, our friends at Voice of Prophecy join us to share this morning's devotional thought.
One of my favorite books of the Bible is Genesis, and while the entire book is packed full of interesting stories and adventures that would thrill any reader, the two chapters that enthrall me the most are chapters 1 and 2. In those two chapters, we find what I call the ideal. This was the way things were supposed to be. When God created the earth and before sin spread its infectious wings over our planet, there was a perfect state of things. This perfection is captured for our thoughtful consideration and comparison in the opening two chapters of the Bible. Genesis 1 begins with the creation of the heavens and the earth. However, we are left wondering when this actually occurred in that we are only told that it was in the beginning. Was that part of day one or predated the actual days of creation and is more related to the beginning found in John 1:1-3, where we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made." Well, we're not told in Scripture when it was. Some have argued that the latter, suggesting that before the actual seven-day creative process, God formed the earth, and this could be why modern dating practices date the earth older than what the Bible reckons. Certainly, one could read Revelation 13:8 that Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world as suggesting the same thing. But notwithstanding, what we do know is that when God began to create the content of the earth, He began with a canvas that was formless, void, and hidden in darkness. On the first day, God separated the light, day, from the darkness, or night. Again, we are left with a bit of a mystery in that we are not told what shone that first bit of light, for the sun, moon, and stars were not created until later. Maybe it was simply His presence, as suggested in Revelation 22:5, where the Lord God gives the light. Regardless, we begin with a distinction between dark and light, but with no way to regulate the process. Although there is something in place that determines time, for we are told that the morning and evening mark the first day and subsequent days. The second day reveals what was unseen due to the prior state of darkness. Apparently, the earth is covered and maybe even surrounded in water. The Bible states that God placed a firmament in between the water, causing a separation of the waters. So now we have water above and water below, and in between, a new space that He called heaven. That was enough work for that day. And on the third day, God initiates the third separation. This time He separates the water from land. The waters are gathered to the place of His indication, and land appears in its place. This land He calls earth. Once the land is in place, God can work as the master gardener. At His command, the grass, trees, and plant life spring up, decorating the barren landscape that had been lying dormant under the water just the day before. That's a wrap for the third day. The focus of the fourth day is in regulating the day and night and governing the time. Now, in order to accomplish this, He creates the sun, moon, and stars. Verses 14 and 15 read, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. After setting the stage for everything that is needed for life, God begins to create living beings. First, He turns His attention to the seas, where He creates all of the sea creatures. The sky is next, and that He peppers with all kinds of flying birds. By the way, as an aside, and maybe a sight that would cause many of us much unrest, there are some who believe that snakes had wings. So just think about that for a little bit. So sea animals and birds are day five, and now on to the sixth day. On this day, God moves His focus back to the land and calls into existence all of the land creatures of bears, tigers, dogs, cats, monkeys, and the list goes on and on. And while those are wonderful to behold, He's not done yet. It is on this day that He also makes His crowning achievement, the pinnacle of creation, man and woman. Man was to be different than the rest of the creation. In fact, God modeled us after His own image. In character and appearance, we were to resemble our Creator. After making us, He then entrusted the newly created earth into our care. We were to be the caretakers of this beautiful new planet, and Adam was to be the prince. Finally, on the seventh day of creation, God gave man another gift. As if the gorgeous garden and all of the creation was not enough, God gifted man with a day of rest. Not that man would be tired and that he was created perfect, but this day of rest, we are told in Scripture, was to be dedicated to spending time with God Himself. One day a week that God and man would hang out. What an incredible gift. I love the creation story because I imagine God as the master painter and engineer. He has a blank canvas on which He can flow His creative juices. He can color how He wishes, carve out shapes and sizes to His pleasure, make as much or as little diversity as He desires. And when we take a look at what we have on this earth, even in its current fallen and sinful form, we understand the complexity, exactness, and diversity of God. We could spend hours talking about the realities of the nature of God, but we don't have that kind of time. I would, however, like to spend a few seconds looking at the exactness and precision of God as it relates to the creative process. I'm a hobby farmer and have been blessed with a small farm. Although figuring out how to efficiently grow in Colorado has been a bit of a challenge, this year we've had one of the best garden years that I can recall. There are many factors that influence the growth and health of plants. Some of the basics are nutrition, sun, and water. God, in His wisdom, designed plants to flourish based on receiving these things in their proper quantities. And this is where the creation sequence jumps out at me. It's of great interest that God created plants on the third day, but did not create the sun or something to govern the day and night until the fourth. Not a huge deal if on the next day He made these heavenly bodies, as the Bible testifies. However, if instead we adopt the thinking of some, that between each creation day there were many years, maybe even millions of years, then the logic behind God's choice to make plant life before the sun, moon, and stars would need to be questioned. Why populate an entire planet with plant life, design that life to be dependent on the heavenly bodies for their health, development, and growth, but then wait millions of years to create those bodies? It's as if God purposely executed that sequence as evidence of a calendar day view of creation. And that's what I love about God. There's nothing that escapes His thoughts. In every step, He's provided enough for us to believe in Him and believe in His Word. How's it with you this morning? Do you believe? Maybe a little time thinking through God's creation might help. Let me pray with you this morning. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your blessing. We thank You for the blessing of creation. We thank You that it's not something, Father, that You just guessed at. You were so intricate and made so many colors and shapes, and the diversity was absolutely incredible. And even in the pattern of creation, what You created first and second and third and fourth, all of these things were thought out well before the time, so that in the end, all would know that You are God. Thank You, Father, for creating things that we could trust in and know that we have a God that loves us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, I'm thankful to start this week with you, our Hope Channel family, once again. We at the Voice of Prophecy pray that you wake up with hope each and every day. Thank you for starting your Monday morning with us. Whatever this new week has in store for you, you can have hope in the midst of it. Until next time, God bless.
Thank you, Alex, for those encouraging words.
Amen. And friends, thank you so much for being with us today and watching Wake Up With Hope.
And please join us tomorrow morning. You know we will be right here as Jesus 101 will be with us as well to share a morning devotional. We will have a dedicated prayer session and more inspiring music by Hope Harmonies. If you enjoyed today's messages and would like to learn more about the Bible, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Our free Bible study guides are sure to be life-changing. Again, that's hope.study. And before we go, we want to share with you a Bible promise. And today's Bible promise is found in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33.
It says, "But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm."
You know, in a world where safety and peace seem to be a thing of the past, God calls us to His side. He promises that we will be safe in His presence as we follow His ways and listen to His wisdom. We can be sure that there is no fear in Christ. And today we want you to have that peace and that assurance. And you can by welcoming Jesus into your life today.
Amen. What a wonderful promise, friends. I want that peace in my heart too. We hope you've enjoyed your time with us today. May you have a wonderful and happy Monday.
Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, today, Lord, all of us, with no exception, we need the peace that comes from heaven. We need Your peace, and we thank You for Your promises. And today, Lord, we thank You because we know that as we begin this day, we have Jesus in our hearts, which means that we have hope, a hope that burns within our hearts, a hope that will keep us looking up to You. So draw near to us, Lord, and stay with us all through this day. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.